Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You can feel it in the air. It's another Howard University homecoming weekend on the way. And tonight we're talking about that and all other things dealing with Howard University. We're sitting down with President Dr. Wayne Frederick and you, our listeners. If you have a comment or a question for the president of Howard University, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Frederick, good to see you again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's first talk about homecoming. Yes, this is a Howard University event, but this is more than that. It's a big deal for the Washington community and beyond. What can people expect this year?
Yeah, you know, I think like every year, Howard is a good opportunity for the community to come together. What we've been trying to do progressively is move it to more of a focus on the university and obviously not just all the other festivities. And I recognize that, you know, that there ain't no party like a Howard party, and I get that. I grew up in that as well. But the reality is there's a lot going on at our great university, and what I want alum to do is to share in that and participate in that. So we have open houses at all the schools. We have an hour where you can meet with the deans, ask questions. You can meet students and faculty, see what type of research is taking place, see what the facility needs are, so that when you donate, you see kind of what types of infrastructure support we need and what your dollars are going to. And I think it's really important for us to engage in such a way so that our alum can really continue to benefit from not just the existence of alma mater, but from alma mater continuing to rise.
Mm-hmm. What can we expect to see this week as people begin to make their plans to come to Howard, whether they are just coming for Saturday or whether they plan on making it a 3 or 4 day week?
Lots of stuff, I think. As I said, Thursday we have the open houses. You also have activities such as the fashion show that'll take place. We have the step show on Friday night. On Friday morning, I'll give a State of the University address. We also have Yard Fest, and as usual, that's an iconic event. We have tailgate on Saturday. That's going to be a bit different, a tailgate, different in the sense that we really are going to be very strict about alcohol consumption.
How so?
In that we are not having any alcohol in the tailgate. And that's a rule that we've had. We haven't enforced it, but this year we intend to really enforce it. There are young people on this campus, so we've got to keep safe. And so prior to starting any of the tailgate spots, we were very clear with the public about that requirement, and we're going to take measures to make sure that people don't bring drinks in to that area.
Are they going to pour it out or ticketing or what?
Nope, we're not going to have any come in. If you show up with it, we're going to, you know, confiscate it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want anybody bringing it. And we've informed everyone ahead of time, and we really are going to stick quite strictly to that. Obviously, the game is important as well. We have a young football team with some changes in the football team as well, so we want to be out there supporting them. And then on Sunday, we have the alumni brunch, which, again, I think is a fabulous activity. Step Africa was with us last year, and they'll be with us again this year. So we look forward, again, to that activity as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Howard University homecoming week, and I'm sitting down with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick talking about all things Howard University, including, of course, homecoming week. You mentioned the State of the University address. What are you going to talk about?
So I'm going to talk about the strategic plan. I'm going to talk about the implementation of it. What I usually do is also give some feedback on how we did last year, where we are where we're heading, what worked, what didn't, some of the big facilities and real estate plans that we have for this coming year in terms of renovations and those types of things. And so it's really a broad overview of the university and the state of where the university is and what we're trying to do, and more importantly, how all of us can participate, alum, faculty, students, staff, and parents as well. So it's really a very far-reaching conversation, and I usually take questions at the end as well.
Who is the address for?
The address is for the entire community. We open it up to everyone. We have a webinar as well. The reason I do it on this particular day is because you have so many alum coming in. They can actually be in the room, but we also live stream as well.
Mm. What is the most important part of the State of the University address this year? Because the university is constantly changing. You mentioned the strategic plan that was just kind of brought on board. Obviously, it is. Am I overstating it to say it's a living document?
It's very much a living document, and a part of that is that it has to evolve as the times evolve as well. So, and also, you know, there's some things that we're going to do, and, you know, we may not get it right, so we have to be able to change direction. And there's some things that when we do get right, we need to double down on that investment and double down on doing that particular doing something a particular way. And so it has to have that flexibility in an ongoing fashion so that we all are evolving with it as the university evolve and as the circumstances around us evolve as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick about all things Howard University, including, of course, this is a homecoming weekend. If you have a comment or a question for the president, please give us a call. Lines again are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. A lot of things I want to ask specifically about Howard, but before I even get into that, it seems that this year nationally we have seen an energizing and a focus on the HBCU culture. Have you felt that as it relates to pop culture, news, and a broader interest in HBCUs?
Yeah, I think there has been. You know, the presidential campaign has certainly been a part of what has put that at the forefront. People are talking about, you know, putting aside funds specifically for HBCUs to improve infrastructure, those types of things. That has created a conversation around it. Athletics has created another conversation around it as to whether or not primetime athletes should becoming or considering HBCUs as well. And so all of those things, I think, have really re-emphasized, I would say, the importance of HBCUs. And I think it's an important conversation. It can't just end with conversation, though. We really need strong policies. And while I've heard a lot of the presidential candidates speaking about different policies, I still think that there's some meat on the bones that we need to be adding to that entire discussion.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, talking to Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University. So let's talk about some of the issues that have come up. There is a lot of construction going on, particularly as it relates to the quad, the freshman dorm, and there have been concerns about conditions and how some of the students are living. Can you address some of the issues that you've heard and how these issues are going to be dealt with?
Sure. So first thing, I think that's a clarify, because I think we need to put some of these things in context.
Mm-hmm.
85% of the dorms through renovation and new construction are 5 years or younger, including the main residence hall that's of a concern recently. And that main residence hall is the Quad, which is the freshman women's residence hall, which we closed last year and did a complete renovation. There is still some work ongoing, which we informed the current residents and their parents about prior to the semester starting, and explained that that construction, we would stop at night, we'd begin at 8:30 in the morning, and it would be ongoing throughout the semester. Some of the conditions in terms of there have been some issues with the showers. There's, we've been mitigating those types of concerns. And there also have been, I would say the most major concern I've heard is the concern about rodents, which is something that we've had in just about every residence hall. And that's because DC has a rodent issue. And when you do construction, you tend to, you know, stir up their habitat, and that can in turn result in them having a bit of a proliferation. We are mitigating that circumstance as well. We're going to do some terrier ratting this week, again, in which we bring in specialized dogs to assist with that process. And that, I think, will help mitigate a significant part of it. Another part of it we need to do is education as well, obviously not leaving out food and those types of things as well that may attract those rodents. So we're having ongoing engagement with the students and the parents through the Parent Association Council as well. And so we anticipate that we'll have the issues at hand, specifically as it relates to the Quad, you know, fully mitigated.
When do you expect that the Quad will be completely finished? Because, there, like you said, there's work ongoing.
It'll be completely finished in early January.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're having a conversation with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick about all things Howard University. You give us a call if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810. We want to talk about the football team. Kalen Newton, the son, the brother of Cam Newton, is leaving. He's transferring. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so he's entered the transfer portal. And, you know, again, I think as times change, college athletics is also one of those complicated areas that changes often. And sometimes rules that we have different types of repercussions. NCAA instituted a rule, I believe, beginning of last year, that football players can play 4 games and then subsequently redshirt. I think the intent here was, it was well intentioned, so that players who may want to transfer, etc., can have an opportunity to probably start the season and make their decision versus making a rash decision before the season starts. And especially when you think of things like the quarterback position, where you have competition for places and, you know, all of those types of things. And in the first few games, you can have an injury that changes a lot of things. I mean, I think all of those are well-intentioned reasons. That has now led to a proliferation of players who also are redshirt and because of the opportunity as well. Again, I can't speak specifically to Kalen's issue, but there have been some very high-profile quarterbacks and high-profile football players in particular beginning last season who transferred. And if you look at some of the top 25 schools in the country right now, quite a few of them have quarterbacks that didn't start their college career with them. And there's a lot more movement now, especially as places get more competitive. Kalen has been a student athlete here for 2 years, has done a fantastic job there. I think the biggest thing that we should really be talking about with respect to that young man is that he will graduate next May, which would be a year early.
Well, he was tweeting that he plans on finishing his education.
Absolutely. Here. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what student athletes are about. You know, we wish him well. Whether he transfers or not, the main issue is that he's redshirted and he is in the transfer portal, but he can make a decision to, you know, continue with us or to go somewhere else. The thing that I would be most proud of is that he would have, spent 3 years getting his degree here and ultimately getting a world-class education. And he would have played with us for 2 years and three or four games in a season. And, you know, I think that there's a lot there to celebrate. But, you know, I think the complexity of what's going to, you know, what's going to happen and how some of these rules and so on are going to be impacted is what it is. And as he himself has stated, you know, he came here after not necessarily being heavily recruited. And he is grateful for the opportunity that we gave him. And we're grateful for how he represented the university while he played for us.
And there was certainly no experience like an HBCU experience for him, without a doubt.
Yeah, and then his, there you go. And his father and one of his brothers played at an HBCU, so I think they both understand what it means for us to have elite type athletes.
We need to take a break. When we come back, more of a conversation with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Hang on, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Your phone calls after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are sitting down with Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University, talking all things Howard University ahead of this homecoming weekend coming up. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Ramesh calling from, oh, we've lost Ramesh. Okay. I want to go back to the issue that we were discussing before the break, which was more broadly college football. As you know, California has passed this NCAA Fair Pay to Play Act, where college athletes are there to be compensated. Your thoughts about this? This is nothing new. This has been a decades old conversation.
Yeah, this obviously, as you said, is nothing new. It keeps coming up in debate. And I do think the NCAA is at a point where they're going to have to address this. If we allow jurisdictions to make up these rules and dictate what happens, we're going to have chaos. And so NCAA is going to have to come in, I think, at some point, and really this is going to force their hand. Personally, I have always been in the camp of athletes being compensated, but not at the time that they're playing. I think at certain schools that meet certain threshold barriers in terms of revenue, I do think that the athletes probably should get an annuity put aside that they can then get when they're 40 or 45. When their playing days are over, they need to make a pivot to other things. I think it would help. A lot of these athletes, unfortunately, don't make it to the pro level. If they don't get the full benefit of that education, they then really are caught in a tough place and trying to put their lives back together. And in some really bad cases, they end up, not living a very fulfilling life. And some of them even end up homeless and difficulties like that well after they've enriched the coffers, of some of these major institutions. And so I really do think it's important for the NCAA to look at this issue and probably look at it through a different lens. And hopefully they will see a mechanism by which they can come to some type of agreement on what to do. Specifically with the Fair Pay to Play Act, one of the other concerns that I have is that the institutions are giving the athletes an opportunity and a platform to showcase their talents as well. And so while, you know, the California law speaks to the fact that this gives the athlete the opportunity to make money off of their own image, et cetera, you know, hopefully, again, even if those things stand up in court, et cetera, going forward, hopefully there'll be some mechanism by which a contract would be signed between the player and the university so that there's some benefit, because these are not individual sports. Just imagine having a basketball team with, you know, a roster of 15 students. One of them, you know, is a really big time athlete. It's not a professional sport, so he is getting his image. Does that start impacting his play? Does that start impacting his decision making around his teammates? What does that do for the chemistry of the team as well at that point? Now, obviously, some of the students are better than, some of the student athletes are better than others, and they naturally get that type of, you know, that type of attention, and that comes from their play. But when you start adding in money and being able to market your own image, right, so, you know, does that get in front of the team? And I do think that college athletics also should be about teamwork and about integrity and about how well you also fit in on the campus as a student leader. And so I still think that there are some tensions there that will need to be worked out.
One of the longstanding arguments about this issue is that if you are a high school senior and you get a college, an athletic scholarship, some have argued, well, you're being paid in the sense that, or you are being compensated, not paid, but you are compensated because of the pressures of performing on college athletes now. Do you believe that argument holds water? Some could say, well, yeah, you may not make it through to the to the pros, and so in addition to playing, you need to go to class and get your degree, so that in the event that you do not become a professional athlete, that you still have some semblance of education to carry on your life after school.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated. I recognize that. I received merit scholarships here at Howard, and need-based scholarships when I was here at Howard that got me through. And so I recognize the value of the investment that the institution is making in these student athletes. On the same token, not all of these institutions really are focused on the matriculation of the athlete to graduation. And as a result, to a certain extent, they are benefiting from an outsized revenue stream that doesn't match the investment that they're making in the athlete, to be quite frank. And so I think sometimes when we compare it, I think we're comparing it, you know, it's a little bit like fool's gold. I mean, you're getting a scholarship that may be over the course of a 4-year period. In Howard's case, would be $160,000. But if we were in March Madness every year and competing for a title and had a television contract, et cetera, those things are worth tens of millions of dollars. Some of these institutions are bringing in tens of millions of dollars. And so to say that an athlete who's receiving $160,000 over the course of 4 years in education is already appropriately compensated, I'm not sure that's there. And then the other part of this, to be quite honest, that I think is disturbing is the role that the African-American athlete has played over time. And unfortunately, that's an elephant in the room. This is not just about, you know, athletes, for instance, or students caught up in the college admission scandals who can afford for their parents to pay for them to go there, and they may get an athletic scholarship. But the reality is this is really impacting an underrepresented minority, where in the big sport, in the big time sports, the big revenue sports, every time you turn on your television and you look at college football, the national championship, the athletes who are starring in those games, who are ultimately bringing that money in, same thing with the basketball tournament, are African-American athletes. And so they are underrepresented, and I think to a certain extent they're taken advantage of in that circumstance. And I think that's a tough conversation for us to have, but I think one that we must have as a nation and as a higher education community as well.
Is it hard to compete with some of these top-tier NCAA schools? And this is why I ask, even watching Monday Night Football last night, and you know, during the first couple of plays, you will have the athletes, they'll pop up and they'll say, you know, John Doe, Alabama, you know, Steve Smith, Ohio State. Then you will have, you know, Steve Johnson, Howard University, or and I really listen to that, not only because I find it entertaining, but I'm also interested in hearing how many of these athletes have attended HBCUs, in addition to the fact that some of them haven't gone to college at all, which speaks, I think, to a bigger issue about the athletic prowess of some of these athletes. But a lot of these guys have gone to HBCUs, which gives me hope that they went to HBCUs to play, to believe in the opportunities that they could get there, and then they end up being exceptional pro athletes.
Yeah. No, specifically for the NFL, you look at how many teams are in the NFL, and then you look at the size of the rosters. And so if you do the math,
and not a lot of,
you got thousands of NFL players, probably at least several hundred against, a few athletes. So on Sunday, for instance, I watched the Giants play the Vikings, and Antoine Bethea, Howard alum, was, playing. I don't want to mess up the position he plays, but I think he plays safety. Nevertheless, I was just rooting for him in particular. But again, let's talk about an Antoine, Bethea. He comes to Howard University and he gets a shot in the NFL. But in that period of time that he has been playing in the NFL, if we also go back and count the number of athletes that we've had on this campus on the football team, who have not made it to that next level. And I think at the beginning of your question was, can we really compete? And the reality is that we can't. I don't think we have an appreciation of the overall cost. So we pride ourselves on the fact that 87% of our athletes graduate from the university. When you look at what we spend in terms of scholarship money and those types of things, and then infrastructure and stuff like that around our athletics program, against the revenue that we don't bring in, we operate that program at a net loss of potentially $10 million. But on a P&L statement, it's a net loss. For me, it's a big-time profit because we're getting these athletes an education and getting them to graduate. So that's one side of the coin. If you go look at like Alabama football, since that's one of the schools you mentioned, the football team alone, when you look at their revenue and then their net of what they bring into the university, it's tens of millions of dollars. So right there, you can see the major contrast. I'm running 19 sports on a net loss of $10 million, and one program at the University of Alabama is bringing in tens of millions of dollars. And then when you apply that to basketball and other revenue, major revenue generating sports, and just how much revenue it generates, it's night and day. So in terms of facilities that they can then invest in terms of, infrastructure around physios, around, tutoring, around travel, sometimes our athletes may be catching a bus, it's an 8-hour trip, while, some of these programs have a private jet carry the teams. I mean, the other day I looked at golf as we were bringing golf on, and a couple of the programs at the Golf Channel featured the athletes travel by private jet.
Wow.
Right? So it's night and day, in terms of the experience. So, all of those are things. So sometimes I think people say, well, these black athletes should come to a Howard and an HBCU, and while I am certainly in agreement, primarily because of the great education they will get and ultimately serve themselves, their families, and the community long term, I also do recognize that the short-term attraction in terms of what they can get elsewhere is also very different, and we have to, appreciate that. That doesn't mean that we're not going to try to compete. That doesn't mean that we're not going to try to get some of those elite athletes to come to Howard University, because once we get some consistency there and we are able to win and demonstrate as well that they can get a great education, then the outcome is positive. I mean, right now people are, a bit cagey about, for instance, Kalen transferring, but I hope when the larger story is told that no one else recruited him, he came here, he had, two great years, played a few games in his third year, joined the transfer portal, and then graduated in May. I hope that people see the value in that story and recognize that there are few other places in the country that he could have gone and had that transformative experience.
Not to mention, I think you just said something that struck me. Let us assume, for example, that he does, go somewhere else. Wherever he goes, it is likely that he will still have spent more time here than anywhere else. Yeah. And whether he is fortunate enough to become a pro athlete or fortunate enough to do something else of note, I would imagine it would be the hope, and based on his tweet and the positive tweet that he posted about Howard University and the accolades and his thoughts about the university and indeed getting his degree here, there is a story that he, like so many other high profile Howard University graduates, are able to tell beyond that time here. And I think that even if he's no longer playing sports here, that down the road he would still use the opportunity of any success to tell the Howard University story and the bigger HBCU story.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct. He would be able to tell that story. He'll also be able to recognize why he should give back. I mentioned Antoine Bethea, who's in the NFL. And one of the things he did is, he gave back to the athletics department to help us improve the facilities, the training room, et cetera. And so that's the type of thing that ultimately happens. And the more people that benefit from the education, the more they're going to do that. Some of them are going to obviously have different careers and have a different type of wealth attainment over time. And yes, I think part of his story and part of telling that story is going to be his opportunity to give back and improve what he met here so that he makes it better. And I think, he's a conscientious young man, but I would say a lot of our, athletes, both men and women, and a tremendous number of the sports feel that same way about what happened to them when they came here to Howard University, and they do give back at present.
Going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to finish up our conversation with Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University. Lines are still open if you do have a quick question or a comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are wrapping up our conversation with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. This is a homecoming week, and again, a time to celebrate and to reflect here at Howard University. I do want to ask, we are coming to the end of the year, even though the actual school year ends in May, but with the new year, it'll be 2020. What is it that you have in mind for a message for 2020 for the university as it relates to your thoughts, programs, as we move closer to the new year?
Yeah, 2020 is a presidential election year, and I think very much like 2016, it was a special year here on our campus. We had President Obama as our commencement speaker. In the middle of that year, as I see this 2020 election and everything that has happened over the past 3 years, everything that Howard University is about is something that should give the country hope. We are bringing the young people that are going to make this country better through the education that they receive. And so we really have to invest and recommit ourselves to what we're doing here, because what we're doing does work. It is producing excellent alum who are out working every day to make this country a better place. And I think that I have I'm pretty confident that we all can take some solace and some pride and hope in the young people who are coming here. And that's why our university has to be as strong as ever, because we do house the solutions for tomorrow's problems.
Mm-hmm. Are there any new initiatives that are coming up in 2020 for the university that you might want to share, or even some ideas? Because as I mentioned before, I know you've been really focused on Howard Forward, the strategic plan, as a living document. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are working on a deal with the hospital. I think that's a critical part of what we do. It's not just a hospital deal, but it's really going to transform our health sciences part of the campus and part of the and that part of the activity that takes place to get the young people the type of instruction they need, the clinical exposure. This deal is going to be critical in us doing that well. So that's an initiative that you'll be hearing more about as we go into 2020. There are several facilities, renovations, as well as new construction that we'll be embarking on. The undergraduate library's renovation will be finished by that time. We'll have the Blackburn Center also finished and open in January. We'll begin renovations on Douglas Hall in terms of restoring it to its former glory. So those facilities moves are going to be very critical as well in 2020, and I think really put the university on a major platform. Sometime next week, hopefully, if not later this week, we'll announce our Howard Entertainment launch. That's kind of similar to our Howard West that we did with Google. We'll mention who the anchoring studio partner is, and also how we would have that program structured. We'll be sending students out to Hollywood, anchored in the studio, students from Fine Arts, School of Communications, Business and Law. And what we're going to do is a similar type of immersive and didactic experience in the entertainment industry. And this is the first phase of that. The secondary phase, obviously, is at some point for us to get to the point where we are producing our own content and telling our own stories through our own voices. And so that really excites me in 2020. We'll see that kick off in the spring.
Well, we are moving closer to the end of 2019. Lots to look forward to in 2020. So, Dr. Wayne Frederick, thank you again for coming in. Happy homecoming to you. Enjoy, be safe, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again before the end of the year.
Thanks for having me. And for everybody out there, please be safe and enjoy your homecoming. We look forward to having you back.
There you go. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, for this Monday, October 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.